Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in to the Razzball Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined, as always, by my sidekick, my partner in crime here at the Razzball Football Podcast, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. J.B., hello, how are you?
I'm good, man. It was a good week. Went 3-1 in my leagues. Actually, it may be 2-2, depending on Monday nights. We're on a special time today.
Absolutely. We are taping tonight on a Monday night. We'll still post on Wednesday, so we will not be up to date, obviously, on the Monday night football game. And that is because our super producer, Scott, was surprised by his lovely girlfriend and was given a pair of tickets to Rush, who are playing in Toronto tomorrow night. So that is why we are not doing our regular Tuesday night taping. So I hope they put on a good show, Scott. It's silence from the studio. Okay. but it was funny though, because we are taping a little bit later. We're sitting here, JB, and we were watching videos, just waiting for you to get on. And I watched one, and it reminded me of you.
Ah, what was it?
It is a very, I don't want to call him a small artist, because I don't know how big his following is, but it's a video that I found a couple years ago. It's a rapper from Tennessee named Big Smo, S-M-O, and the song is Kicking It in Tennessee. And let me tell you, he makes me want to go to Tennessee. I know Carolina's not Tennessee, but it was just kind of a southern flavor, you know, big white guy rapping. It made me think of you, JB.
Tennessee is our neighbor, and I have been known to spit some good fire here and there.
What is? are you telling me that you can drop the occasional line?
I may drop a line or such phrases every now and then. I will not be doing that for our audience. Hold on, guys.
No, time out. You rap sometimes?
No, I don't. I was just kidding around. You know, I feel like everyone raps though. At some point, everyone's turned a little something into a rap just for fun.
I don't doubt that is the case. But yeah. I could just picture all 6'8" of you, big Carolina, on stage somewhere in the triangle, dropping bombs.
Yeah, well, people would be throwing bombs at me, getting me off the stage too.
All right, we're going to start talking football. You can always follow us on Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi, C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I, and he is at J.B. Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. And let's start talking some football. So it was, I mean, look, every year is an exciting season of football. There's always stuff you don't expect. But it seems this year there's been a lot of things kind of that have caught me by surprise. Anyway, first thing I want to talk about today, RG3. Has more rushing yards, and I believe also more touchdowns, but he has more rushing yards than the following running backs: Michael Turner, Trent Richardson, DeMarco Murray, Steven Jackson, Darren McFadden, Matt Forte, just to name a few. JB, discuss.
Well, it's certainly been a great year if you bought into the RG3 hype, and we spent last week's podcast talking about how I think we both thought I definitely thought he wasn't going to play. I think you thought he was going to be out too. I'm really surprised that Washington put in a guy coming off a concussion, put him right back out there in his rookie year, the team that was 2-3, but now they're 3-3. He had 138 yards last week and a big 76-yard run at the end of last week's game against the Vikings. There's no way he has more rushing yards than all those guys. I'd say maybe Steven Jackson and maybe DeMarco Murray, depending on injuries. But other than that, I think it's just more of a fluke and function of the game. I mean, there's no way he puts up 1,300 yards rushing this year, don't you think?
Well, I think he's – I actually calculated it. I think that he actually is on pace for just over 1,000 rushing yards. So let's use that as the bar. Well, Michael Turner
– I went a little high.
Well, okay, but let's even drop it down because of injuries, and obviously he's coming off a big game this week. Let's say he rushes for 800 yards. Will Michael Turner hit 800 rushing yards this year?
Yes.
DeMarco Murray?
Yes, but pending his foot sprain. I think he'll be all right, so I'm going to say yes.
Anyway, it's not like we're doing starter sits here with any of these guys, so it's more just for the fun of it. But it just shows you how effective rushing yards are for a mobile quarterback.
And the fact that I even have to pause and think about DeMarco Murray, and it seems like RG3 is definitely going to get it. It's going to be a good second half if you're an RG3 owner.
Absolutely. So let's talk about let's keep talking about quarterbacks who are part cyborgs from the future. Aaron Rodgers, 6 TDs versus Houston's defense in Houston. What the heck was that, JB?
Yeah, it was pretty unreal, and it was all hands on ship. All three receivers there in Green Bay had great games. Jordy Nelson really emerging. That's going to help Aaron Rodgers, obviously, a ton. They're still going to get Greg Jennings back at some point. I think he just had a slow start, and Rodgers is going to be good to go the rest of the way. He's banking on that early first-round pick potential.
Yeah, so are you comfortable saying that Aaron Rodgers, if the season was starting today, would still be the number one quarterback?
More than comfortable. I didn't even doubt that while he was going through his rut. He was just going against some of the league's best defenses all at the beginning. And when you're top-heavy like that, you're going to have some owners that are panicky. And if anyone was able to trade for him, you're looking good right now.
Fair enough. Is A.J. Green the number one wide receiver in football right now?
We had this debate last week, and I still think all around from a NFL actual player's perspective, I'm still going to pick Roddy White. But for fantasy, it's A.J. Green.
And I brought that up because you did bring up Roddy White last week. And I will say this. I think the only guy who comes close in terms of football or fantasy is Calvin Johnson, who probably is number one, obviously. The lines are not clicking yet. But boy, A.J. Green just looks like he's going to be a monster. And I can't even think of a comparison. I've heard Marvin Harrison as a comparison. But I think in terms of pure skill, A.J. Green might even be better than that.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison was more of a smaller guy. I mean, he wasn't small. Obviously, everyone to us is small. But, you know, A.J. Green's more of a possession big guy with the speed. He reminds me a little bit more of Randy Moss in his prime than I'd say than anyone else.
Oh, that's interesting, actually. You know what? That might be the best analogy I've heard so far, actually.
Yeah, and what's really surprising is they had Joe Hayden, who was, you know, coming off his suspension, was hungry. You know, given he hadn't had that extra practice time, extra game time, maybe that slowed Hayden down a little bit. But A.J. Green and Dalton embarrassed him.
Yeah, fair enough. Can I get a little bit Russell Wilson love right now? Because, boy, it's not checkdown city there anymore. They're letting him throw deep. Is he a starter in a 12-team league, in your opinion? Or is he still just a bye week fill-in?
I don't think so. And this week, you know, they're going at San Francisco, and 6 out of 16 weeks, he's playing these ridiculously tough NFC West defenses. This was just a function of a good game, a good matchup against a New England secondary that's had problems. Seattle got down. That's when they finally really opened up the playbook for him. He's a good fill-in. I played him over Ryan Fitzpatrick in a two-quarterback league, in my dynasty league. Obviously, I loved that. But I still think he's out of the top 20 quarterbacks the rest of the way.
Interesting. What about Christian Ponder? Where does he fit in your rankings?
He's probably in the low teens. He's ahead of Wilson right now. I mean, you look at Ponder's weapons. I mean, he's throwing to Peterson out of the backfield. He's got Kyle Rudolph, who we're going to talk about, I'm sure, later in this podcast. He's just been great. You're going to have Percy Harvin, who you called was going to have a good year, and here he is again getting another double-digit catch game. I just like Ponder's weapons more than Russell Wilson's. I know Sidney Rice is pretty good, but other than that, Seattle doesn't really have any stars to throw to.
All right, fair enough. Let me throw a couple names out at you, a couple guys who had big games this weekend, and you let me know if you think it's a sign of things to come or just a blip on the radar. Sean Green,
Blip.
Josh Freeman.
That was a quick one. I think it's a closer to a sign of things to come. I like that he's got Vincent Jackson now to compliment Mike Williams, who's looked really good last week. I think he's going to be good.
What about Sam Bradford?
I think he's more of a blip as well. Without Danny Amendola there, they're still kind of working on building that receiving core. Brandon Gibson, man, did you see that one-handed catch he made last week? Or yesterday, I should say?
You know what? Not off the top of my head.
It was just disturbingly good. It was only maybe a 13-yard play, so I'm not sure how much coverage it really got. But Brandon Gibson, yeah, he's emerging, but Bradford just doesn't have the weapons to really have a good fantasy passing rest of the season.
I think Josh Gordon had the catch of the game or catch of the day yesterday on Sunday with that one-handed grab on the long TD run.
Yeah, that one was pretty nice too.
And where does Felix Jones fit in Dallas's offense if DeMarco Murray is healthy?
Well, I'm going to answer this in two parts. For this week, they're playing my Carolina Panthers. And my Carolina Panthers run defense is, you know, make any sort of porous joke about a sponge or a desert or something. I mean, you just go straight through them. They're going to get shredded. I think Felix Jones is a good play this week. However, if Murray is healthy, I still think Jones is just going to be a change of pace back and isn't going to get the touches that they'll need you to carry your team.
All right. Which St. Louis running back would you rather own rest of season, Steven Jackson or Darrell Richardson?
It's still got to be Steven Jackson. I know he's having a tough year, but I'm still going with him.
And the last kind of bullet point I have here, I just have Kyle Rudolph equals touchdown maker.
Yeah, dude's a beast, and he's really tough to cover. It's this new evolution of every team needing a dominant tight end. Not even dominant, but just working their tight end into their system more, using the matchups against the smaller secondary and sometimes a lot smaller linebackers out there. He's a good tight end. I mean, this is going to sound like an easy question, but, you know, him or JerMichael Finley?
Oh, him.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even close, and right, that's really surprising, but that's the way it is.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, out of, you know, short of the top, maybe four or five guys, I don't have the list in front of me, but Rudolph's right there.
Yeah, he's close. It's two or three top guys, and then there's 13 to 14 tight ends that are all capable of having big games for you, and Rudolph's definitely towards the top of that list, but there's just a lot of guys this year.
Well, who do you have altogether? Because obviously you've got the two big guys in Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think Hernandez has worked his way towards the top of that list, seeing him back and getting six catches last week. You don't think so?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you Hernandez.
Okay, let me pull up the scoring leaders of tight end, and you'll tell me who's legit and who's not.
Well, here, I've got it already up. So okay, Tony Gonzalez is number one. So, look, I'll still take Tony Gonzalez. Vernon Davis is number two. I would rather have Kyle Rudolph than Vernon Davis, I think. Just because of how Minnesota's offense is moving the ball, and like you said, there's weapons there. I just worry when you have someone like Vernon Davis and there's such low-end skill positions around you. You know, give me the guy that they're going to move the ball and they're going to get close to get into the red zone, which is where he's going to shine. And Kyle Rudolph is actually the number three tight end currently, according to Yahoo. And then, you know, I'm looking at the guy, you know, Gronkowski and Graham have gotten up to rough starts. You know, I'm not going to pick Selleck. I'm not going to pick Jared Cook, Gresham.
Definitely not. No.
Witten, Olsen, Fred Davis.
I might rather have Witten the rest of the way. He's coming on.
Yeah, but Witten doesn't score touchdowns. See, that's why in fantasy football, I want guys who are going to score touchdowns.
And I'm weird. Maybe it's because I've been playing PPR too much, but I want someone that's constantly involved in the offense and the touchdowns will come.
Well, I promise you, this is just the first of our disagreements today because I've looked at your up and down list, and man, we're going to box today, buddy.
Nice. I like it.
So let's get right to it. Thursday night games. First one, Seattle at San Francisco, which is going to be an awesome game, I think. We'll continue to watch the emergence of Russell Wilson. I think San Francisco is going to be have a bit of chip on their shoulder after the game last week against New York. But I'm going to be curious to see how the kid – I just love the kid's mettle, man. He's just tough. He's just got it. You know, that it that you can't define, he has it. So I'm going to be curious to see what they have here. But you have your up. Tell us who it is.
It's Sidney Rice. You know, another good game. He's really emerging as the top wide receiver there for Russell Wilson. Had the game-winning touchdown late last week. I think the Seahawks are going to have to throw. I think the 49ers play hungry after kind of getting embarrassed by the Giants yesterday. I think that they're going to really limit Lynch, who's coming off his worst game. Wilson is going to have to throw. I'm not huge on Wilson in this matchup, but I think that he's going to have to make passes to his receivers. I don't think Wilson gets the huge touchdown numbers, the three that he got yesterday, but I think there's a good chance if he does throw one or two, one of them's going to Rice.
All right, 2 points I have. I don't want to start any wide receiver against San Francisco's defense. I don't care what happened last week. And two, Sidney's Rice's shoulders, both of them, are made of papier-mâché held together with duct tape. So
wow, super fringed paper mache, or did I super Americanize it?
No, you know what? That's how I'd say it in English. It just kind of came out that way. I apologize, but papier mache.
They're made of piñatas.
All right, so I'm not touching. I like Sidney Rice as a receiver, but a wide receiver with bad shoulders is bad news. Who are you down on in this game?
For me, it's Michael Crabtree. He should have had a really good game last week. It's against the Giants. You know, a big part of that is the Giants put a ton of pressure on Alex Smith, made Alex Smith look really bad. You know, Smith had that finger injury that I'm sure he's not going to say affected him, but it seemed like it might have. I just really wouldn't trust him in this game after it really looked like he was getting some good, consistent games in consecutive weeks. I'm benching him in this one.
You know, if I had to start anyone, oh boy. Yeah, forget it. I'm not going to give you an argument there. All right, let's go to the Sunday games. First one at 1 o'clock. So who are you up on?
You know, it's William Powell. I'm not huge on wanting to start him this week. The Minnesota Vikings defense is good, and they're better than they showed last week, giving up 38 to the Redskins. However, he clearly outplayed Lerod Stevens-Howling. Lerod Stevens-Howling had a measly 2 yards per carry, I think, last week, and William Powell had over 5 yards per carry. I saw a few of his carries on Red Zone. You got me completely hooked on that. The ADD kid in me loves it. Like I said, that wasn't available to Time Warner customers down here. So plug to Time Warner. Thanks for finally getting Red Zone to us.
You all right. Here's why you're wrong. Arizona has the worst offensive line in football, and that front four in Minnesota is going to beat up that poor young William Powell. Next, who you down on in this game?
I couldn't really think of any of your obvious choices, so I'm going with the Arizona defense. They really didn't look that great against the Bills. I mean, yeah, they kept the Bills from scoring, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is a turnover machine, and they only got 2 sacks off of him. They didn't get a single turnover. I have a feeling that the Vikings offense really rolls in this one. All those weapons we talked about, Ponder, Peterson, Harvin, Rudolph. And despite the matchup kind of looking bad on paper, I would be hesitant to start them as my defense this week.
Wrong. That is one tough defense, and I think Minnesota has had a mix of some good matchups. But I think they're playing, as much as I love all the weapons there, and I've been the one talking about them all year, I think they're playing a little bit over their head, and I could see Arizona coming in and punching them in the mouth.
So, but no turnovers from Ryan Fitzpatrick. None.
Yeah, but I that happens sometimes. You know, it could have been that was the game plan, to be more conservative. But, you know, Arizona is a team that could go in, and it's less the interceptions I'm concerned with. It's more just that pass rush. But we shall see.
We shall indeed.
All right, next up is the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants. Who are you up on?
I actually had a really good week in my last second decisions start sits with my sleeper starts and my big name benchers. One guy I was definitely wrong on and who I led on was Ahmad Bradshaw. And he really showed us something, having over 100 yards and a touchdown against San Francisco, coming off that huge week 2 weeks ago against Cleveland. I think you're starting him here. You obviously are in all leagues, but I'm just saying that I think he still gets a ton of work yet again, and he's probably a top 10 running back this week with the bye weeks.
Wrong. All right, here's my argument. I think he could have a good game against Washington. What I'm more concerned with is the amount of carries he's going to get now that David Wilson seems to be emerging, is finally having some...
David Wilson.
Hold on. Man. Hear me out.
Get the hotel room. Bring the champagne. Get the bubble bath going. Jeez. David Wilson has had one good carry all year.
just hear me out. The point I'm trying to make is I could see the Giants trying to manage Bradshaw's carries just to keep him healthy because they do have a team that could go deep into the playoffs. So that's just my argument. And you know what? Against Washington, I'm more just having fun with you here. But I could see Bradshaw having, you know, good per carry numbers. I just can't see him being the bell cow in that offense. Who are you down on?
They're not going to give David Wilson the ball late in a game that's close, that's a division matchup, because David Wilson is just going to put it right on the ground. He's going to come home crying. You're going to be like, oh, come on, David, come into my hot tub. It'll be fine. I'll make you feel better.
All right. You know, I don't appreciate where you're going with that. All right. Who are you down on in this game?
It's Pierre Garçon. I mean, I know he was injured again last week. It's easy to pick on the injured guy, the nagging foot injuries there. It's more of just the rest of the season after that huge first quarter he had week one. I think the future's really bleak for him the rest of the year. They put up 38 last week, like we said, on the Vikings defense, and Santana Moss was the leading receiver in both catches and yards with 4 catches for 46 yards. This Redskins team does not need their wide receivers to have big games, even though this seems like a game where they're probably going to have to pass some to keep in it. I still wouldn't want to play him, even if he's going to be probable heading into Sunday.
I can't argue with that.
Hey, we agree on something.
No, I didn't say I agreed with you. You know what? I could...
here we go. All right.
No, I think against New York, if Garçon gets in the game, I could see him breaking a few big plays. That's all. But I'm not saying you're wrong. There's plenty more wrongs for you coming up, young man.
All right.
Next up is the New Orleans Saints at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tell me who you're up on.
I like Mike Williams, and he had some great catches last week, got a touchdown, had over 100 yards. He looked really sharp, and he's actually had a pretty good year. I think having Vincent Jackson on the other side's only been helping him this year. The New Orleans defense is terrible. Everyone knows you can gash them up. I like him as a solid wide receiver 3 or flex this week.
Yeah, I've always liked Mike Williams. I think what people forgot was, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe his catches and yardage totals from his rookie year to his second year were very similar. It was just a big drop off in TDs because there was no one else on the other side. And I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Vincent Jackson there really allows him to open up. And I mean, he's an athletic freak. If he hadn't had issues in university at Syracuse, you know, he would have been probably a first round pick. So definitely like that call on Mike Williams. Who are you down on?
Even if he's playing, it's really early in the week, so we don't really have too much updates on his injury status. But even if Jimmy Graham is playing, I'm still a little skittish on him. I have a feeling that they're not going to want him out there on every single play. They don't want to test that ankle if they're blocking on a ton of run plays, and that's going to limit how he's going to look in play action. I wouldn't want to start him unless I knew he was feeling great and practiced fully the entire week.
Wrong. No, you know what? I won't give you a real hard time on Jimmy Graham. I do think if he plays, I'm definitely starting him just because, you know, when a guy of that caliber plays, I'm starting him.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. It's tough to bench him. The only people I would actually really bench him for is, say, you picked up someone like Kyle Rudolph. Who would you rather play this week if Jimmy Graham is heading into the game questionable, but all reports are that he's going to play?
I would rather have Jimmy Graham against Tampa than Kyle Rudolph against Arizona.
Really? All right.
Hey, I've been wrong before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Wilson's like, nuh-uh. My man's never been wrong.
All right. When we have our playoff editions, you'll see all those leagues where I got David Wilson, David Wilson taking my last bench spot. I've had Ahmad Bradshaw on so many of my teams, and I know what his injuries are like, so.
Yeah, I know. But I still think Andre Brown's going to be a big part of that offense if he can get over these concussion syndromes.
All right, still a lot of teams to get to, so we're going to speed it up a little bit. Next up is the Dallas Cowboys at Carolina Panthers. Tell me who you like in this game.
We teased it earlier. The Panthers' run defense is terrible. And because of that, I like Felix Jones in this matchup, even if Murray does play. Murray's going to be limited probably if he does play. This is going to be a blowout. With Dallas winning big, I just know it. It's the Panthers are just so depressing. Felix Jones, have a good flex day this week.
Who are you down on?
It's Greg Olsen. You know, as soon as you trust him, there he is disappearing. The Panthers just have not had a consistent tight end since Wesley Walls. Do you even know who that is?
I do.
Yeah, Yeah, he was awesome. And since then, there just really hasn't been any tight ends really to trust. Greg Olsen's probably been the best since then. But the Dallas's pass rush is good. Secondary's great. I have a feeling they limit Cam on his successive throws.
Let me just ask you this. How do you think Cam's going to do against Dallas?
I think he's going to have a decent week.
What's decent?
11th ranked quarterback this week.
Sorry, where?
11th.
11th.
I just threw that out, but something around those lines.
Interesting. I agree with you on the secondary. Cam, I just have a problem with where currently to rank Cam Newton by any stretch, because there's always a chance he can get you a touchdown on the ground and maybe 60 yards rushing. I don't know. Cam and I are having some issues right now.
And athletic defense with those fast pass rushers to catch him by his heels, I don't think Cam gets more than 30 or 40 rushing yards at the most.
All right. Our nominee for potential worst game of the week is the Cleveland Browns at Indianapolis Colts. That being said, there are a ton of guys that I will be watching closely in this game. Tell me who you like.
I like Josh Gordon. Two straight weeks with long touchdown catches. We said earlier he had a really nice catch. I like him as a good bye week fill-in, a really good lottery ticket this week. Indianapolis' defense has shown that they are having their struggles.
Is it too early to start calling him Flash Gordon?
No, I like it. I like it.
And who are you down on?
Right after a bunch of good weeks and we talked him up, Andrew Luck just really looked like a rookie versus the Jets last week. It's tough to trust him, even though it's a good matchup against the Browns. If he's your bye week fill-in, you're probably rolling with him. I think Joe Hayden getting embarrassed by A.J. Green, having another extra week of practice, he's going to be all over Reggie Wayne. It's going to be a tough week to start Luck for me.
Wrong.
Wrong. Oh, I almost beat you to it.
Anytime the one-win Cleveland Browns come into your home stadium and you're that polished of a rookie, I like you.
Yeah, how polished did Michael Vick look against him?
Yeah, but listen, Michael Vick is, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. Yeah. I don't mean to throw that on you, but
That's,
I'm just saying, the Jets defense hasn't looked great. They don't have Revis, and Luck looked really bad.
It's a whole other kettle of fish.
It's a whole other can of sardines.
What are you merging the two?
I don't know. I didn't really have a follow up to that.
All right. In what I think might, and it's a big M for might, but I think might be a more interesting game than people realize, is the Green Bay Packers going into St. Louis. Who are you up on in this game?
I agree. This is going to be a really cool game, and I'm really excited to see what Brandon Gibson does. Like I said earlier, he had a huge one-arm catch that just looked awesome, and I'm not sure if it made SportsCenter top plays. I've been busy all day today, but hopefully it made it somewhere up there. But, seven catches for 91 yards yesterday. If Green Bay plays like they did last night and Aaron Rodgers throws for five touchdowns early, there's going to be a lot of junk time for Gibson. I don't think that's really going to happen, but I do think St. Louis is going to have to pass frequently to keep up. He's emerging as a favorite target with Amendola out. I like him a lot this week.
See, I would be hesitant. I mean, I would. If I have Jordy Nelson, I'm going to start him. But I'd be hesitant to start my Packers receivers this year just because that secondary, with Cortland Finnegan and Janoris. What's Janoris's last name? Is it Jones?
Or that James? Sounds right.
Jones or James?
It's been a while since I've done an IDP league. I'm not up on my defensive players.
Oh, actually, I apologize for that. I will have to check that out. But they've been, arguably the top shutdown corner pair in the league this year. So that's why I think this game might be interesting. Tell me who you're down on.
And this is kind of an unfair one and a tough one. I do like all the Green Bay run wide receivers for where they are. But it's Jermichael Finley. He's as close to droppable as he'll ever get for a guy you've spent a fifth or sixth round draft pick on. Only two catches for 12 yards last night in that huge game over Houston. Yep. Yeah, he's probably dumpable.
Janoris Jenkins. And I apologize to the Jenkins family.
They're mad.
All right. Next up is the team that has no more IDP players. It is the Baltimore Ravens at Houston Texans. Who are you up on in this game? And I know it's not Baltimore's defense.
It's not, especially their run defense. But I like Joe Flacco. I think that it's back to the drawing board for the Houston pass defense. I know it's Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's had a big game coming. It's been boiling. But I think Joe Flacco, he looked a lot better last week than he did against the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. I think he'll have a solid game in this one.
And who are you down on?
And I'm going to go to the other quarterback with Matt Schaub. You know, he should have had a much more efficient game than he did against the Packers. Didn't play well. I think Arian Foster and Ben Tate are going to have a field day with this Baltimore run defense that looked just absolutely terrible. I wouldn't want to play him in any one quarterback formats.
I think I'm going to disagree. I'm not going to call you wrong, but I think that Schaub might actually be a good start just because you know, that running game will allow the play action to open up. And with Webb out, at this point, it looks like they're saying anyway, it's a torn ACL. We'll see.
Yeah. And that is a tough injury for Baltimore. However, I still think it's just going to be run, run, run. And we've seen Arian Foster get so many touchdowns. I think he has a huge game.
All right. Next up is the Tennessee Titans at Buffalo Bills. Tell me who you like.
And we've talked about him ad nauseum on this podcast, but I actually like Chris Johnson in this game. You know, over 100 total yards last week. He didn't look great. I know that. But all that matters for fantasy is that stat line. The Bills have been absolutely destroyed in the ground game. Remember what the Patriots did 2 weeks ago with Brandon Bolden and Stephen Ridley both having 100 yards. I think Chris Johnson owners can really get excited for this one.
Wrong.
Just because you love the Bills, too.
No, I don't. But I think they might be finally starting to put it together, A. And B, at this point, I still can't start Chris Johnson. I don't care what the scenario is.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a great week for Chris Johnson. And with bye weeks taking so many teams, I think he's a definite start on every team you have him.
All right, listen. I'm not saying he's not a start. I'm just saying, I guess I just wouldn't own him, period. But you know,
he fell to the second round to me in one league. I mean, I didn't want him in the first round, but I had to draft him where he went. Benched him a couple weeks early. Had to start him last week against Pittsburgh. Played pretty well. I'm happy with him this week.
All right. Well, I'll put it to you this way. He's averaging about 50 yards rushing per game, and he has no touchdowns. So I don't want to start him.
Yeah, I think he gets 130 yards and a touchdown.
130 yards and a touchdown.
Total yards. 130 total yards.
Let me write that down. Someone find me a pen.
AKA David Wilson's end of year stats.
Oh, man. Boy, am I going to rub that in your face. All right, who are you down on in the game?
You know, after a couple big weeks, he's been scoring a lot of touchdowns, but Scott Chandler didn't have a good game last week. I know you love Arizona's defense, but Arizona's defense has given up some plays to the tight ends earlier in the season. Only one catch for 4 yards last week. He's going to be a touchdown threat, but I think there's, if you're playing in 10 and 12 team leagues, I think there's 10 or 12 other tight ends I like more this week.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the afternoon games. And believe it or not, is this right? Is there only two afternoon games? That can't be right.
Yeah, there are. Mm-hmm. Only 2 4 o'clock games this week.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited to watch Jacksonville at Oakland. Tell me who you're up on.
This is kind of a gut call, but coming off a bye week after two, you know, underwhelming but okay games that I know Blaine Gabbert isn't very good, but I think Justin Blackmon kind of emerges in this one. Oakland's pass defense hasn't been great. I think Blackmon has one of those, you know, sneaky plays for a bye week fill in this week.
Wrong. I just wanted to say that because I think this game is going to be abysmal. Who are you down on?
I think it's going to be a lot of busted plays and a lot of plays you wouldn't expect. I think it's going to be a little more interesting than you think. But I'm down on Darius Heyward-Bey. You know, it's great to see him back. That hit he took a couple weeks ago, everyone was holding their breath. It's just good to see him back on the field. But Denarius Moore looked really good against the Falcons, had a lot of big plays. They didn't have a catch on two targets, had a 20-yard run on a reverse, but you're definitely still not trusting him at all if he's your bye week fill-in this week. I think you'd want to go to the wire.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. Plus, another thing, too, I don't know if we've talked about Denarius Moore this year or not. I really like Denarius Moore. And I think some people are like, yeah, well, he's up and down. Well, that's because he was a rookie last year. Mm-hmm. And I think once he gets it going, he could be a pretty special receiver. So I'm sure he's not available in your leagues. But if he is, I would definitely have him on a bench spot. And I could see him being, you know, definitely a wide receiver 3, if not maybe even sneaking into a wide receiver 2 rest of the season. I'm just saying that.
I completely agree with you, and I wasn't impressed with, I'll admit, limited Raiders viewership last year, but I've seen him in a couple games this year. He looks really sharp. He had a lingering hamstring issue heading into the season, made him miss week one. Now he's getting fully healthy, came off a bye week, and looked really sharp against the Falcons. I think he's going to have a big second half, too. We agree on that one.
Okay, good. No, I think he's a special talent. Yeah, all right. The other afternoon game is the New York Jets at the New England Patriots. Tell me who you're up on.
Well, I'm up on the CBS ratings because there's nothing else to choose from. But I like Aaron Hernandez. We talked about him earlier. You know, he was real questionable heading into the week, gutted it out, had six catches. Yeah, it was only for 30 yards, but did get a touchdown. It's good to see him involved. I think he's a good start in all formats now.
All right. And who don't you like?
And we talked about him a little bit earlier as well. I called him a blip on the radar, and that's Sean Green. I mean, I know he's yo-yoed his whole career, and it's tough benching a guy after that huge game that he had last week. I'm sure a lot of people had him on your bench too. But I don't like him in this game. The Pats, they shut down Marshawn Lynch the most that any defense has had this year. I don't have any trust in Green. I think the Jets get down early.
All right, the Sunday nighter is the Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals. I got a feeling this actually might be a pretty exciting game. Tell me who you like in this game.
I agree. I'm really excited for this game. I'm going to be watching it really intently. But I like Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it looks like Mendenhall at this point. Yeah, it's Monday. You can't make any call for sure. But it looks like that he's going to play. A lot of injuries to the Pittsburgh running backs, which means a lot of passing for Big Ben. Yeah, he only had one touchdown last week, but it was for, or not four, 363 yards, but that was his yards total. The Bengals defense is just a mess right now. I think Roethlisberger was a really high start for quarterback rankings this week.
And who don't you like?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, man. It looked like a great pick every league I got him in. I got him in two out of the four this year, and you know, he's still the workhorse back there, but it's just not really getting it done, not scoring the touchdowns, which I know you love. It's tough to see him anything above a flex this week.
Would you rather start Ben Jarvis Green Ellis or Chris Johnson this week?
Chris Johnson, not even close.
All right, and the last game is the Monday Nighter. It is the Detroit Lions going to Chicago to take on the Chicago Bears. Who do you like in this game?
You know, I like Mekhi Lashore. It's not a great matchup, but, you know, he had a solid game last week, 94 total yards if you had to use them, three catches if you're one of those PPR players like I am in most of my leagues. You know, it's nothing too exciting, but it's good to see him getting all the work in that backfield. I think he's usable again this week. I think the Lions stay close in this game. I think it's a real interesting divisional matchup. I think he has another good, you know, if underwhelming game.
And they actually, I believe, just announced, I saw it over Twitter, that Javid Best is done for the season. He will not play football this year. So it is the Mekhi Lashore show.
It is. And what happened to Kevin Smith?
He's not very good. Lashore, I like Lashore. I think he could be pretty interesting. Excuse me.
If you're in a deeper keeper league, or, you know, where you keep 7, 8, 9, I think he's a real interesting guy to try to target and be that last keeper for you for next year.
Yeah, I could see him having a big second half. I think once that, because the other thing too is that the Lions offense hasn't really shown what it's capable of so far this year. So if they get cooking, I could see that opening up a lot of stuff for Lashore. I think he's interesting. I actually like him quite a bit. I don't know. I won't make a call on his upside, but I'll put it this way. I've been offered a lot of trades recently, or especially 2 weeks ago when he had the first game. People were trying to sell high on him, and I bought. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And tell me who you don't like. But wait, let me guess. Matthew Stafford.
I know. I've been so down on
Matthew. Is this because he's a Georgia Bulldog?
It's not. I mean, I have nothing against the Bulldogs. I love A.J. Green, but it's just I could not believe heading into the year he was going in first rounds, even in early second rounds. And I've been right all along, and I don't like him again this week. Yeah, he had over 300 yards. Yeah, he had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown last week, so he ended up having a pretty good fantasy day. But, you know, under 50% completion passes yesterday. You know, the Bears have been tough against opposing quarterbacks all year. I don't see that really changing in this one. I think you have to be careful if you're starting them, but you probably have to.
All right, last question. If you're in Chicago, you've only got one meal. You only got time to eat one thing. Are you having a brat or are you having a Chicago-style pizza?
Oh, Chicago pizza, because I'm getting my brats in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's fair, eh? You know what? I may have just got myself in trouble there.
Yeah, probably did.
JB, I am battling a cold. I don't know if you can tell with my 19 coughs throughout the show, but I appreciate, again, your great insight here in the Razzball Football Podcast. If for some reason you downloaded this off iTunes, which is a great thing to do, you can always find us at razzball.com. Just click on the football icon, and all of our great writers are there to take care of all your fantasy football questions. Also, if you have questions and you really want, you know, you want us to help you out, you don't want me to help you out. I'm here if you have show questions. But if you want, you know, start sits, if you want to just be a pain in JB's rear, you can reach him at JBGILPIN on Twitter. And I am Nick Capozzi, CapoZzi. That's ZZI if you're listening in Canada. JB, you got anything else this week?
You know, I heard you coughing. I thought you were, you know, chilling in your hot tub with David Wilson. You got your little cigarillos going, a little glass of champagne. I thought you were.
Let me repaint the picture. All right, it ain't no cigarillos I'm smoking. I ain't drinking champagne. Actually, I'd probably having a glass of something from Tennessee. And David Wilson would probably not be in the hot tub with me unless I happen to be hanging out with him, because he said, Nick, you know what? You called it early in the season, and it was me, David Wilson, and about, you know, 18 New York Giants cheerleaders in that same hot tub. Otherwise, it's probably not me.
It's got to be a pretty big hot tub. But I think us tall guys that we are, you could handle it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm a big guy. I can hold multiple cheerleaders at once if necessary. I'm just saying, like, if there was a, you know, a fire drill or something, I could probably carry, you know.
I've got a big wingspan, too. My wingspan's 6'10".
Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you play sports in high school?
I was awkward. I played basketball, but more pickup stuff. I played high school ball with Jamie Skeen. He played for JMU on their run to the – or no, VCU. I'm sorry. VCU on their run to the Final Four a couple years ago.
Okay. So you weren't, like, you know, swatting shots with that 6'10" wingspan?
No, I'm white. I can't jump.
Oh, come on.
It's like, imagine if Yao Ming was 6'8" and not 7'5". That's me.
All right, that's fantastic. GB, thank you very much for being with us this week. And ladies and gentlemen, tune in next week for another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. Now, with 23 more... No, I got nothing. I'm going to quit. I'm sick. Thanks. That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.